Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week, Near FM's year-long series promoting poetry. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is Quarantine by Yvan Boland, read now by Noel McConnell.
In the worst hour of the worst season of the worst year of a whole people, a man set out from the workhouse with his wife. He was walking. They were both walking north. She was sick with famine fever and could not keep up. He lifted her and put her on his back. He walked like that west and north until at nightfall, under freezing stars, they arrived. In the morning, they were both found dead of cold, of hunger, of the toxins of a whole history. But her feet were held against his breastbone. The last heat of his flesh was his last gift to her. Let no love poem ever come to this threshold. There is no place here for the inexact praise of the easy graces and sensuality of the body. There is only time for this merciless inventory. Their death, together in the winter of 1847, also what they suffered, how they lived, and what there is between a man and a woman, and in which darkness it can best be proved.
Quarantine by Yvan Boland, read there wonderfully for us by Noel McConnell, and I'm delighted to be joined now by Noel in studio. Noel, thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Noel, tell us a little bit about this poem. Had you read it before? You know, did you come across it before? What was your first opinion of it when you read it?
It's a real deep, sad, yet successful love poem. And even the title, I thought, turned you off. The name for me did not indicate a topic, like, for instance, the famine in this case.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet it's a great title. I don't know whether quarantine as a word does not indicate famine or it does not indicate love. The word means a place of isolation. And
no, it's a bit jarring with the poem then, isn't it?
Yeah, it is,
it's a bit of a red herring.
Exactly.
So to speak.
And you know, when you talk about quarantine, you talk about more of isolation and jail, maybe even prison.
It's a very medical word, I find, you know.
Yeah, I don't know whether you know this, but that it comes from the Italian quarantino, which means 40 days. And in the old days, way back in the Middle Ages, or maybe even before that, if a husband died, a wife had 40 days to leave the house.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the fact is that I was trying to find a connection, and I was wondering, did it, like, the famine was in the 1840s. So I wondered, was that the connection?
That is fascinating. I mean, that wasn't the first place I went. I totally agree with you. I mean, the title of the poem, Quarantine, did puzzle me a little bit as well. But the first place I went to was I started thinking of Ellis Island, the holding centre outside Manhattan.
I was there once.
Yeah, I visited myself years ago. Yeah, I was probably too young to appreciate the significance of it when I visited. But, you know, obviously. And as we were saying there, that quarantine is a very medical word. It's very clinical, you know,
and it's a sad word, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It certainly
that
doesn't
be another connection, I suppose, to the poem sadness.
It doesn't evoke the kind of it's a tragic poem, but it's a really tender sort of portrait of the love between a man and a woman, a wife and husband.
So much so.
Was there any, like, really standout lines or standout images?
Well, the love part, like, it's a fantastic love story, you know. It's a tragedy, but yet it is a love story. And it's full of contradictions. Like, the two lines there, you have to admire. But her feet were held against his breastbone. The last heat of his flesh was his last gift to her. Like, how love can you be?
Yeah, no, it is. It's wonderful.
And I've no doubt that must have happened. We're talking about the 1840s. And I'm sure most marriages were arranged marriages in those days. And yet he obviously loved her.
Yeah,
you know, I love that part. I think it's...
It's her feet. I mean, and probably in the 1840s, there probably wasn't that many people with shoes, and they're walking on stony soil for miles and miles.
Absolutely not. And, I just... That is one part that just hits out at you.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely.
Two beautiful lines. It shows his love. They were in love in life and they were in love in death.
And even the fact there, you said it's a love story, and the word story, I mean, if you look at the poem, the actual composition of the poem, what it looks like on the page, it's quite short lines, and there's a full stop after every line, as if it is actually a piece of prose writing, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to read it with the full stops.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I thought this poem could not be written in rhythm and rhyme.
No.
It's a story that has to flow. And if you had the restrictions of a rhythm and rhyme, I don't think it would have worked.
Yeah,
you'd have lost that whole theme.
Would you have been familiar at all with Ivan Boland herself, the poet?
You know, we would be sort of the same vintage, and I know of her very, very well, but I never saw her.
Yeah,
I never saw her reading her poetry, and yet I know her voice because I know she has a specific type of voice. I know about her. I know her father was a very high diplomat, and to my knowledge, I think he was the chairman or the president of United Nations. And her voice probably comes because I know she was educated. She's born in Dublin, but she was educated in England. I should say she was educated in Ireland, England, and America. And this might have. She's a highly published girl. If I may boast a little bit, but. I did look on my shelf and I have over 300 poetry books. I was a bit surprised myself. And as I have them alphabetical, which I know I have no book of Ivan.
Oh, okay.
And but she is in a few anthologies. She's in a lot of anthologies, yes.
She'd be one of the...
She's highly published, you know, very prolific.
One of the iconic
women
Irish poets.
Oh, without a doubt.
And we should just mention as well, a couple of weeks ago, she actually got the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Bord Gáis Irish Book Awards.
Right,
so
yeah.
Congratulations to her.
Of course, and who better deserves it, you know, because her contribution to Irish poetry has been unbelievable.
I have a quote here for you, Noel, that I'd just like to read and perhaps get your opinion. It's a quote from Mary Robinson, our former president, and it's in light of the famine and in light of the poem that we've just read, the subject, I thought I might get your opinion on it. The famine, so says Mary Robinson, more than any other event, shaped us as a people. It defined our will to survive and it defined our sense of human vulnerability. Do you think the famine, I mean, we're 150, 160 years later, from the famine now, we all did it in school, but do you think it still kind of hangs over us psychologically as an Irish people?
Yes and no. I wonder now in the modern age, do they think of famine? Do they think of famine in Ireland? They possibly think of famine in Africa and the Middle East and places like that. But I'd say a lot of people forget that we had a famine. And yet my father's generation, they would have been very, very familiar with the famine. It was always a topic that came up in conversation. Like, we don't have many monuments celebrating the famine or commenting on the famine.
Yeah.
But there is the beautiful one in Down the Quays. I don't know which quay it is.
It's the Custom House Quay.
Quay by, is it Ronan Gillespie?
Gillespie's the
now
name.
That is fantastic. You'd stand and stare at that. But in my own knowledge, I haven't seen many monuments to the famine around the country.
No, that was actually going to be my next question, and the subject, because we're broadcasting this week to commemorate, as you said there, Rowan Gillespie, on the 13th of January in 1997. The famine memorial was presented to the Custom House Quay. Mm. But I mean, I'm not an expert now, but I really don't think there's that many memorials to the famine or any kind of commemorations to the famine.
And we don't even really have a day or some kind of day in national celebration, you know. And if other countries, you know, England and America, they're probably better at commemorating kind of great national tragedies. Do you think we honour the famine and its victims enough, or do you think we're kind of doing them a disservice?
I don't. And when you think of what happened in the famine, that the island of Ireland, that its population was halved, and only now, as you said, 160 years later, we are only getting back to the population that we had during the famine.
Yeah, but it's a shocking.
It's a shocking, yeah. And like it was a pogrom of the Irish people, which is a dreadful thing to think that it happened at all, that it ever happened. No, I think we should celebrate it, and I hope that when the celebrations do come, that it's well done, which we have been doing in recent years. We've been doing celebrations well, and I hope that they do this one similar.
Look, Noel, it's been a real pleasure having you in studio and having a chat with you. It's been a real treat getting your opinions on Quarantine by Yvan Boland.
Thank you very much. I was delighted to come in, and as I said, it gave me a new meaning into the poem. So I'm very, very happy to have.
All the best, Noel, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, and thank you very much, yeah.
Yvan Boland is an Irish poet, author and academic who has published numerous books of poetry. Her work has been quoted at formal occasions by figures like Bertie Ahern and Barack Obama, and in recent years she has gained a new generation of readers, as many of her poems are now studied on the Leaving Cert. She remains one of Ireland's foremost artists and is currently based in the USA, where she has been teaching at Stanford University since 1996. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Poem of the Week is broadcast every Monday at 12 noon and every Saturday at 10 a.m. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.